We are back. The Spivey Special Podcast. We're bringing back the old show. We got Grab Bag. We got Food Court Files. And yes, we still have Man Boobs. Hit that theme song. Welcome to the Spivey Special Podcast. Troy, we did it. We are back.
We don't know, really know what to call the episode, but we're going to call this Season 4, Episode 1, because why not?
I think we lost track somewhere like 159, so we're just going to go Season 4, Episode 1. We're bringing the old show back.
Let's just give the people what they want. You know, everyone's been reaching out to us, both the people that listen to our show, and they're like, hey, just bring it back old school. Enough of watching those Kings play all the time. So let's go. Here we are, bringing it back. All of your favorite categories with your two large men.
And we got a new category tonight. We got recommendation time. We've got still got some Kings talk. We got Food Court Files. We're going to do some crap. It's going to be a fun night. Buckle in. Troy, let's talk a little bumpy. Football to start this thing off. Troy, Chiefs, Niners, Super Bowl, what are your thoughts?
You know, I thought both the championship games were pretty good. Ravens just didn't play well. Chiefs did. They had a really good game plan against Lamar Jackson, as a lot of teams do in the playoffs. Ravens had a lot of stupid personal foul penalties. I don't think any of them were egregiously called. As a Ravens fan, I think I can say that. And then the Lions, the gambler's going to gamble. You know, he had a chance to go up 3 scores with 22 minutes left in the game on the other side there. Went for it, gave all the mode to the Niners, and the Niners kind of just ran with it. So Chiefs-Niners, I'm actually kind of pulling for the Chiefs now, just out of spite. Chiefs have won one recently. I like to see the big droughts. As a Cubs fan, I am all about the drought. So I am pulling for the Chiefs. I don't really care about the game that much, but it's going to be a lot of betting, per usual, for the Super Bowl.
I already got my Prize Picks in. Troy's got me hooked on Prize Picks. That's my new thing. It doesn't matter what it is. I wish I could get more outrageous ones. I just like to bet on a Keegan dunk or a Chris Jones sack, or just whatever the most outrageous one that you could possibly do. I wish we could get some, like, national anthem length time bets.
So I'm a
Can
little...
Can we just get wild for the Super Bowl?
I'm interested to see if they'll kind of put that on Prize Picks, because the first Super Bowl that I've been with Prize Picks, I haven't even been with them for a full year. So maybe they will give us a little props as we... That would be fun. Until you start doing like Call of Duty Prize Picks, I don't know if you're really
into it. I saw that.
It
was like, I don't know. I don't know if I can get that far. I don't have money to blow on that.
That's a wildness. You got to win a couple before you start firing on that.
Let me hit 2 and then I'll start betting Call of Duty in the middle of the night.
Why not?
I got better odds than trying to figure out what Harrison Barnes is going to do.
No, absolutely.
All right, Trey. Well, we are changing back to the original. Do you want to just get started right now? Move into our first one?
Why not? Let's give the people what they want.
All right, Trey, we'll take a quick break and come back with recommendation time. Have you seen this show? Best Tacos Ever. This book I just read? No, just kidding. It's recommendation time. All right, welcome to recommendation time. Troy, we haven't done this one in a while. I'm excited to have it back. I'm going to let you do the honors since you were the one that added this to the beginning of the show. Troy, what is a weird thing or just a normal thing that you recommend for everybody?
So we like to give the people what the Spivey brothers like, and that's not always what normal people like, but this first one, I'm going to go just nice and easy. We're going to settle back in, you know, Season 4, Episode 1. I'm going to go with the show Traitors on Peacock. It's a mix of a lot of different things. We're on Season 2 now of Traitors. If you haven't seen it, it is on Peacock, as I said. The show basically is 22 people. They're in Scotland. They're in this castle. They got this Scottish guy as the host. And 3 of the 22 end up being traitors. And they play challenges. And basically, it's like a Clue type game where you have to try to figure out who the traitors are based on how they're acting and different things that they do. So very exciting show. Interesting. It has a lot of people. In the first season, it's half normal people and then half reality stars. then the second season, they're like, yeah, we're going to get those normal people out of there. And so they have like professional athletes. Deontay Wilder was on season two. Guys from The Challenge, like Johnny Bananas, CT, Survivor people, Big Brother people. You got Real Housewives on the show. So it's like a big mix. It's like
that's right up your alley.
It's a gumbo. You know, there's just so much going on that you just don't know what's going to happen. So that is my first recommendation. That is Traitors on Peacock.
I kind of want to watch that show now. And I don't even really like most of those challenge shows, but they got everybody on there. It sounds like fun.
I think you really like it just because it's more of a strategic type game. And it's like people can't handle it. Lying to people because you vote people out that you, as a traitor, you vote people out that you know are faithfuls, and it like it's wild. Like people can't handle it. The people that are really good at those type of games, like Big Brother and Survivor, they're like in tears and they just can't do it. So it's really interesting. And my current favorite show, that's Thursday nights. I believe it is 9 p.m. Eastern time on Peacock.
All right, Troy, I'm also going to pick a show on Peacock, as we discussed on our live show the other night. I think Peacock is, I think that's where it's at. As much as I thought I didn't like Peacock, I like a lot of the shows that are on there. The one that I'm watching now, it came out over the summer. I think it started in July, but that is Twisted Metal. And it is a very, very interesting show. Anthony Mackie, who plays Falcon in the Marvel Universe, Stephanie Beatriz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and then Sweet Tooth, the crazy clown in the ice cream truck. The body is Samoa Joe from wrestling, and the voice is Will Arnett. And it is very entertaining. They managed to fit 20 of the characters across the 5 or 6 Twisted Metal games all into season one. And it's a lot of fun. They're just going along a post-apocalyptic world, and they've got guns on top of their cars, and they're driving around, and it's super bloody and very entertaining.
As someone who grew up playing the game, I am more intrigued to maybe watch that than a lot of people maybe listening today. But
I think all of the like weird little references to people, even if they don't show up in the show, like I think I'm like 5 or 6 episodes in, but they go to New Chicago and Calypso's there, who's like the voice in all the Twisted Metal games. He's like the announcer, mm-hmm. but they go and he's like a secret voice that's just there and you don't ever see him. And they come up on the little bug, and it's Flower Power, and it's like, okay, I remember all these things.
Yes, now we are.
That was one of our favorite games. I think we played Twisted Metal 3 too much to the point where I don't think the disc stopped working. We had like beaten the game all the way through with every character on like all of the difficulties. Love that game.
Great game for any child to grow up playing. I think that's what it says on the box, is if you don't play Twisted Metal, then F you. Similar to Big Red Gum.
All right, Trey, give me your second recommendation.
This one's a little more out there.
Two shows, so we're pretty on the straight and narrow right now.
Well, I'm going to go, this may surprise you, but I'm going to kind of go out deep left field. I'm going to go with a song. Okay. I don't know if it would be up your alley, but I listen to a lot of music. And
whose alley is this song going to be up?
Mine. That's so... But it's a song that...
This is for you to listen back to in a year and you go, oh yeah, I do like that song.
So the song is I See You by Coco Jones. It's one of those songs that like you listen to and you're like, oh, this jams. It's like kind of a slower song, like an R&B song. And then it like halfway through, like it gets going a little bit, like almost rap-ish, but not rap type song. So right now, my favorite song. You guys should all check it out. Listen to it. I See You by Coco Jones. Talks about getting left on red. Just all the things that I can not really relate to, but I mean, sounds nice.
Oh, I'll have to listen to this song just to get a reference as to what this is.
Perfect.
Most of the time I'm like, where do you even find these songs? But all right, we'll check it out because you recommended it. Thank you, Troy.
All Pandora does is either gives me a random song that I absolutely love, or it's Chris Stapleton, because he's on every single station on Pandora.
All right, Troy, I'm going to get even weirder.
Okay.
We did two TV shows. We did a song. And now I'm going to recommend a product that you can find in stores or on Amazon, and it is a meat thermometer. It is the Meter 2 Plus. I've had a bunch of meat thermometers, smart ones. This one is the best. The app is fantastic. You can choose what you're cooking. When you put the thermometer in on the app, it'll tell you what the inside temperature is. It tells you what the ambient temperature around it is. It gives you alerts if there's a flare-up, like if you get, like if it catches on fire, you can go check on it. It will also make an estimate of when it will be done cooking. So like we cooked a full chicken tonight and it was like, all right, it will be ready in 58 minutes. Perfect. And kind of, now I can watch two whole quarters of the Kings game while the chicken goes without freaking out. Awesome. My new favorite thing.
Well, I'm very happy to hear that you are eating well, because I always worry about you in that department. So yeah. I'm very happy you got your meat thermometer.
I mean, it'd probably be for my best interest to get salmonella with an undercooked chicken or something, but not anymore. Meat thermometer, baby.
Yeah. As a guy who doesn't really cook that much, I don't really have the need for that. But maybe down the road, you know, when I learn your ways, now maybe with the Meteor 2.0 or whatever it's called.
I haven't checked in the app, but maybe they have like mini corn dogs and you just stick it in one and put it in the air fryer and it'll just let you know. I don't know what the internal temperature of a mini corn dog is supposed to be, but
I don't think you need a thermometer. It just tells you what to do on the box. So I don't know why I would spend the money on the thermometer, but
all right, Trey. I think that's it for recommendation time. Let's take a quick break.
Also, before we do, if you guys do have any recommendations that you want to give, and then maybe we can check them out. And if we enjoy them, we can bring into this segment of recommendation time. Go ahead and send them to our social medias on Instagram. X gonna give it to you at Spivey Special.
Also Facebook.
And Facebook.
Or TikTok if you want to get weird.
Yeah, just don't watch those old videos. I mean, this is season 4. There's a lot of things that have happened in the first 3 seasons that we may want to push under the rug a little bit.
Fair enough. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come into our new category.
Where did that come from? Right?
Imagine you were playing a round of golf with your buddies. Few beers deep. Lead on the pencil running low after back-to-back eights. The four of you are on the green, birdie opportunity upcoming, and your buddy leaves it short. Instinctively, you yell, "Hit it, Alice," in which you are insinuating he hit it like a girl, an overused line that gets a grin but rarely a laugh. Then you think to yourself, who is Alice? The maid from the Brady Bunch? The one from the Wonderland? You may be shocked Alice is really a man. Spelled A-L-L-I-S-S, Peter Alice, to be exact. The phrase came from the 1963 Ryder Cup, where Alice took on and defeated the great Arnold Palmer. Alice was never a great putter, and during his match, Peter missed a 3-foot putt. Someone in the crowd yelled, "Nice putt, Alice," and the rest is history. So next time you yell, "Hit it, Alice," remember the excellent movie by Amanda Bynes, She's the Man.
Sports Jog with the Spivey Brothers.
Cubs are good.
Get the ball to big country.
Generic soccer take.
All right, that's enough. I'm out of breath. Welcome to Sports Jog. That's been mostly what we've been doing on the show for the last, I don't know, few months that we've been doing it. But let's get into a little bit of Kings talk here, Troy. I was pretty optimistic during the week, writing the episode for today, and then they ripped our heart out tonight playing the Heat. Not a great one. Heat were on a 7-game losing streak. Kings are now 5-21 all-time in Miami since they've come to Sacramento. And they look like they've been 5-21 in Miami. Kind of a rough one.
It's hard to win in the NBA on the road. That's all I got to say. And the Kings on their longest road trip of the year, 7-game trip, currently 3-1. So to say that this would be the game we would have lost, I probably would have said maybe not, but got one against the Warriors, got one against the Mavericks, got one against a star-studded Grizzlies team that you and I could have started on. So I'm happy with where they're at. I thought if they got 3 wins out of the entire 7-game road trip, I'd be happy. So still 3 more opportunities on this trip, including a game, I believe Friday is our next one up against the Pacers.
That's going to be the one you got to win. That's the one I want to win the most out of this whole trip.
I think the Pacers are going to be good with Siakam now.
They're having a little bit of a learning curve, and hopefully that's when we're catching them do it. But we're also on a learning curve with Harrison Barnes in his 4th season, where he's just trying to figure out if he's good or not. Today he was not. He's regular Harrison Barnes again. He came back to earth after his 31 and 39 or whatever he had.
32 and 39, yeah. Yeah, he had 2 and 10 from three-point line last game. Just, he doesn't know if he needs to be aggressive or not aggressive or not rebound. Well, he doesn't rebound, but I saw a funny video. I think it got posted in the group chat that we're in that Sabonis like, yeah, I want to thank my teammates for getting me that rebound record. They sure missed a lot of shots tonight or something like that. That was pretty good.
That was a good interview. I like that one. Yeah, Barnes 0 for 6 from 3 tonight, scored 9 points. 4 of those were in the last minute during garbage time. After he just didn't play defense when on the last meaningful possession of the game that the Heat had. So, kind of frustrating. I think we're kind of seeing we're right where we were last year, which we were ecstatic to be. We ran it back, that we can't really expect them to be much better. Trade deadline's in 8 days, I think, or 7 days now. We'll see if they make a move. I hope they do. There's a ceiling to this current team, and we're kind of at it. It's kind of probably 4 to 6 seeds somewhere in there, and probably an early exit from the playoffs.
The issue with this Kings team is like, not everyone can get going at the same time. It's like 1 week, one guy's good, and I think that's pretty normal over a long season like the NBA is with 82 games, but I just aren't clicking. Just something seems wrong. Like either Fox is off or Monk is off or Barnes is always off or Sabonis had like a couple bad weeks early-ish in the season. It's just like no one can get the consistency of this team is very shocking to me.
Yeah, Sabonis has been great. Night in, night out, double-double. I think it's up to 29 games in a row. I triple-doubled tonight. He's just putting up like Wilt Chamberlain numbers. Like when you see his stats and they're like, the only other person that's done this is Bolt Chamberlain. It's like, you know, you're having a good season. But it, like you said, it's just inconsistent. Monk has been awful the last week. Fox is, there's been something wrong since like the beginning of the year. I don't quite know what it is. I don't know if he's hurt or doesn't know where he fits in the offense. It feels like he's just pulling up for three for no reason. He's shooting 8 threes like he's Buddy Buckets or something. It doesn't make any sense. It's like,
yeah, a guy.
I get that it's your new toy. You used to be bad at it. Now you're above average at it, but you don't need to be chucking all these threes. Do the thing that you're special at. You're the fastest guy in the league. Just go to the rim.
You could literally get to the rim every single play if you wanted to. You could either get a layup or go to the line every single
possession. Or pull up from 7 feet when they go flying by you like in Top Gun and he just hits that little 7-foot shot. I just don't understand why he's going away from it.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, I really like that the defense for some people have improved, as we'll talk about here in a little bit. But again, the inconsistency is just they're giving me like 2000 Duke vibes. Like if they hit their threes, they win. And if they don't, they're going to lose by a lot. So they got to figure out something besides that. I know that's the new NBA is just hoist it and see what happens. But I think they need to make a trade.
Absolutely do. They need somebody bigger to play the four. Keegan is outrageously good. I didn't think he was going to be good this quick. He is, I was looking at those advanced stats, one of those like weird LeBron D stats where his on-ball defense, he is the best wing defender in the league by a shooting percentage based on who he's guarding. And if you look at the numbers, it looks like a Nnamdi Asamoah stat line where it's just like, here's the numbers against Randy Moss. And it's like no catches. That's basically what it looks like when you play Keegan Murray. He shut down Luka. He shut down basically everybody that he's played. Donovan Mitchell looked awful when Keegan's guarding him. He's guarding Steph full court the whole game. He's run like 22 miles or however much Steph Curry runs. And he's still pretty efficient on the other end. I think he's needs to get into better game shape to go full bore on defense and still have something left for offense. You could see earlier in the year, the defense was great, but all of his shots are coming up short. I think he's just winded from having to guard the best guy every night.
Yeah, it's one of those frustrating things is I think he could play the three. I think he can guard, you know, anywhere from, like you said, 1 to 4 probably on most teams. So if we could get a little length, obviously you need a 4 with length who can shoot, got to be able to spread it out because Sabonis will be eating up that space in the middle. I think every team could add that and be happy, but I think
it's Barnes like the has Pelicans have 9 of those guys, and we have Keegan, and that's it.
And Minnesota.
Yeah.
The best.
And the Raptors. They traded two of them and they still have like six more. It's like, where do you find these guys with a 7'4" wingspan?
Can we get one of them, please? Right. Just we'll loan them. Loan them out. We'll give them back.
Let us borrow it for three games and see if it actually fixes the Kings, and then we'll give them right back.
Yeah, so I think Barnes has to go, in my opinion. Herder has another one we haven't really talked about. Just up and down all around. I like his defense, though. His shooting's okay-ish.
The shooting's been hit or miss, mostly miss, but at least he is playing defense, which is more than a lot of the team right now. Like, Monk is non-existent on defense. Barnes is awful at defense. Trey Lyles isn't really that great. He's kind of undersized for what they're trying to ask from him to play five or
wherever
they're trying to get him.
He should be like, he's like a 3.5, 4. He's probably a 4, I think would be his spot. But I just don't think that they're comfortable with any of the other. We have 900 bigs on the bench, but I don't think Brown's comfortable with really Len or what's his face. Can't think of his name.
McGee's good in spots. He'll get rebounds. He's great at that pick and roll with Monk. He'll get a block every once in a while. He's a pretty good rebounder, but he is a lazy foul waiting to happen. And he did like a post-up hook shot from like 7 feet. It's like, what are you doing?
That's what we called for. That's what Brown drew up on the
whiteboard. That's part of the deal. Brown's actually, he seems like he's doing a pretty good job. Like, if you watch the game tonight, they're running the offense. They have a million wide open threes, and then they go 12 for 40. It's not his fault they can't hit a three.
Miami,
if they just shoot average, they win tonight.
Miami will get you. That's why they don't win there. It's too much fun.
Yeah, I guess so. They sure look tired.
But again, 3-1 thus far on this 7-game roadie, the longest one of the year.
Do you have a favorite trade target for the Kings? I heard Jimmy Butler might be available for a trade.
I heard that.
And I think it's only because Kendrick Perkins did like a super hot take on Zach Lowe's podcast about they should trade Jimmy Butler. And then next day you see all the like...
Where he would go if they traded him.
Right. Like, it created all this content. Like, a Stephen A. Smith in the morning just says something outrageous, and then ESPN has 12 hours of programming based off reacting to that crazy thing he said.
I would... So, on those lists, the Kings were the third best odds to get Jimmy Butler, and I think he would fit.
Absolutely.
Because he could fit anywhere.
Yeah.
But if you can imagine him, Keegan... Well, you might have to give Keegan to get Jimmy Butler.
I don't know.
I don't think they're taking Barnes, Herder, and Mitchell.
Yeah, they'd have to blow it up. They're still 2 games over .500. They'd have to go on like another 7-game losing streak and just be like, all right, we're going to go young core. Let's trade Kevin Love. Let's trade Jimmy Butler, even though we just went to the finals like last year.
If they get in, that's the scary thing.
Yeah.
When Jimmy wants to play... He's like Jimmy from Seinfeld. Jimmy's good.
All right. Well, first writing loss. Kings still playing really well. Still 8 games above .500. I think they're still a 5 seed in the West. I think they're not quite to that first tier where there's those 4 teams that are all within like a game of each other. They can't beat the Pelicans. They can't beat the Clippers. They're super matchup dependent. But I mean, they could get lucky. They could get the Thunder and then like the Timberwolves and then be on their way.
I don't think they could beat the Timberwolves.
Or they play the Clippers and they lose in four games in embarrassing fashion.
Clippers are going to be such a hard out.
It's a lot of time for those guys to stay healthy still, though. That's the thing that you worry about.
Same thing with the Suns. If the Suns can get healthy and they can start clicking with Booker, Durant, and Beal.
As of tonight... The Suns' big three has now played as many games as the big three on the Nets did.
You see, Simmons came back and then got hurt in his first game, sat out tonight.
Yeah. The guy can't catch a break. He got hit in the knee.
I read a meme that he has unlimited PTO.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Never works.
Nope. All right, Troy, that's enough Kings talk. I'm a little depressed. Let's have a little bit of fun here, Troy.
All right.
Let's move on to Food Court Files.
All rise. It's time for the Food Court Files.
All right, Troy, we got a fun one for Food Court Files. You brought it back. You gave me kind of like a loose idea of what you're doing.
Loosey goosey.
You took that idea and went crazy with it.
Mm-hmm.
Told me you went crazy. So I did a little bit of research on my own. I would like to see what you have in your brain for this.
All right. So basically what we did for Food Court Files this week was we each had to come up with a restaurant, had to have a name for the restaurant, had to have a theme for the restaurant. You have to have an appetizer list, an entree list, and a dessert list for people to travel to come to consume is actually what's in the notes. So that's a little shot behind the curtain there for you guys. But I'll go first. So the name of my restaurant is called Cafe Disco, and it's an office-themed restaurant.
Of course it is.
So my appetizers are Ryan Started the Fire. They're in the starter section. It's a cheese pita. There's also another appetizer are cheese balls, but you can't eat them. The waiter has to throw them at you, and you have to catch them in your mouth. There's also pretzels, because at Cafe Disco, every day is pretzel day. And there's also
meatball. Can I get the works?
Yep.
Is it only the works? Or?
Only the works. And then there's meatballs to reference when Jim would just prank Dwight and Stanley with meatballs, and they just go home with meatballs. And the only thing that you can drink is milk. Like Michael ordered at Hooters.
There's not a margarita machine?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Not here. Just milk. That's all. That might shy people away, but you got to be there. Entrees are chicken pot pie. And let me rephrase, an entire family-sized chicken pot pie. And the other entree is Kevin's chili with undercooked onions, pressed garlic, diced whole tomatoes, and ancho chilies. You can add any to either of those bacon. It's grilled on a George Foreman grill. And the sides for your entrees are broccoli, but you have to eat it stem first.
It's a new food for me.
Hers chips and beets, because the thought of putting one of your beets in my mouth. And then we have two desserts at Cafe Disco. We have Fudgy the Whale, and we have Angela's Double Fudge Brownies. So that's my restaurant, the Cafe
Disco. I'm surprised this doesn't exist.
I would go to this restaurant if it did exist.
We should be able to go to Scranton, Pennsylvania, and go to Cafe Disco and partake in this.
Are there anything that you would add to my menu? I know that you said the margarita machine. There was a lot on there that I was thinking, debating, like maybe like a ham and cheese sandwich, because that's what Jim always ate.
There's got to be some sort of pie math involved.
Or I was going to put Laverne's pie stand on there, yeah. Pies from there. I was going to also put, what is he? Oh, the gabagool.
The gabagool, yeah.
I was going to put that. There's just so many chicken Alfredo. I've never ate so much chicken Alfredo. Yep. No water, though. Rabies is the fear of water.
I'll have the chicken breast. Hold the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really what you want? No, I want the gourmet hot dog.
Yeah, a lot of good options for the Cafe Disco. Watched a few episodes last night. Those are the things that came up. Get a chicken or fish too for the leftovers from the wedding that didn't happen with Pam and Roy. A lot of good meals. Alfredo's Pizza Cafe. There could be pizza as well.
I like it, Troy.
I think it would be a pretty good idea. So if you see it.
I'm surprised it doesn't already exist.
I don't know that for a fact. It could exist. Didn't come up in my research. But also, I don't really know how to use a computer. So two things could have happened.
Mm-hmm. Just check out on a Woof.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Troy. I came up with a restaurant as well. I didn't know you were going to go office theme. I also went office theme. No, I'm just kidding.
That was my thought, that you would go that way. But
No, the name of my restaurant is called Sahara Breeze. And I'll go through my menu. And when you understand what my menu is, I want you to jump in. And once you have a guess as to why I called it that. All right. So for my appetizers, we have a lentil soup. We have deviled eggs and oysters. For our entrees, we have a chili bar where you can make your own chili.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Mexican food. It's kind of a eclectic menu, like a Cheesecake Factory. We have a Mexican food part. We got bean burritos. We got quesadillas. We also have an Italian part, which is lasagna and deep dish pizza. We have a full-time bean girl. There's actually three bean girls at my restaurant for different types of beans.
I'm not sure what's going on, but I think if the Sahara might be coming out a different end there. That's
I think you might have figured it out, Troy.
The diarrhea breeze.
All of the entrees come with a vegetable medley with Brussels sprouts, broccoli, and cauliflower.
Mm-hmm. Just clearing it out.
Our specialty is real ice cream root beer floats.
And bran muffins.
Mm-hmm. So it's called the Sahara Breeze. My tagline for it is, for when it's not going to happen.
I like that. Just right.
It's just a real low pressure date night. You're going with a coworker or somewhere where you don't want anything weird to happen. Going to the Sahara Breeze tonight.
There's a lot of good options at your restaurant, though.
It's kind of an eclectic menu. Everyone kind of enjoys it. Later that evening, you won't really enjoy it. You'll have the Sahara Breeze.
That's okay. I mean, some of the best meals finish with a little breeze. So you kind of just have to bite the bullet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Sahara Breeze makes you feel fine. Is that a thing?
I think that's Summer Breeze.
Which
would also work, but I like Sahara Breeze because it was kind of fancy. It's fancier.
I thought it was going to be like some like bunch of hot. Well, this is getting weird, but I thought like a lot of hot like items like peppers. And I mean, you could throw those in there too.
You picked up on the theme pretty good. I think the bean girl was probably the giveaway.
No, it was everything that you said. I hate deviled eggs. I will not touch a deviled egg. So that just made me think that was the way you were going to go.
I think it'd be kind of fun. Bring somebody there on like a third or fourth date. You really want to know who they are as a real person. You put them in this situation.
I think we put this up on the socials. Would you rather come to the Sahara Breeze or would you rather come to Cafe Disco? We'll get a little vote out. You make sure, obviously, you're listening to the episode. So thank you.
The Sahara Breeze also has weird lighting and uncomfortable chairs, and it's just a little too warm and kind of humid.
And the bathrooms are out of order.
But the food is delicious, and it's surprisingly inexpensive because I'm using my lottery money.
Mm-hmm. Love it. All right. I'm so happy to be back with Food Court Files. That was a very, very fun little... This is what the show has just been missing. It's just this cleverness from the both of us. Not having to watch the Kings to spare us for the rest of the evening.
It's true.
The Kings are the Sahara Breeze of sports, I want to say.
I would agree with that. It sounds like a good idea, but you regret it later on.
Yeah, like three quarters in, you're like, this was an awful idea. Why did I have six deviled eggs?
All right, Troy. If it's not been weird enough, let's get real weird and do some crap.
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 Bag?
Grab bag.
Grab bag.
Grab bag.
Grab bag. All right, Troy, let's jump into grab bag. Looks like you've got three. I think I've got three.
Oh, boy.
Let's have ourselves a grab bag kind of night.
Yeah.
I'll let you go first.
You always let me go first. That's so sweet of you. Was it youth before obesity, or what is the saying?
I think that's what it is.
I think it was in a book I read.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm going to not go by this order. I had another one today, and I should have written it down, but I didn't, and I'm kicking myself. But this is called the shoe question.
The shoe question, okay.
All right, if you could only wear one type of shoe the rest of your life, which shoe would you choose? So I'm talking about like a flip-flop, a running shoe, a dress shoe, etc. You can only wear one shoe. So no matter what occasion you're going to, whether you're going to a wedding, whether you're going to the beach, you're going to wherever, going on a boat, you can only wear that type of shoe for the rest of your life. What shoe are you going with?
I'd have to be a solid black running shoe.
Do you think that would fit all your occasions?
I think so. I could still play golf in it. I could wear it to work. You could kind of wear it to a wedding. That's kind of trendy to wear tennis shoes with your tuxedo or whatever. The beach would be kind of weird. But how often am I going to the beach?
That's true. Yeah, I didn't really
factor. I mean, Weston wears shoes to the beach, so.
It's true. I feel like when you go to the beach, they all try to push you back in the ocean. But I think that's probably a safe pick. I was kind of going along those lines. I think I'd be able to get away with that too at work. I have to have an all black or all brown shoe. So mine would have to be one of those colors so I could get away with it. I'd probably wear, they would, my work shoes would look hideous at a wedding though. So. So just can't go to any more weddings.
But you can't have very many left at this point. Yeah. You're old now.
Well, what's nice too, I mean, if you go to a funeral, I guess, as we get older, the black fits in. But mm-hmm. Everyone would be like, why are you wearing a non-slip restaurant shoe to this wedding? See, I would miss like my shower shoes and flip-flops. But I guess, I mean, if you're trying to be...
In Sacramento, it's tough to not pick flip-flop, but then it's raining or it's cold. You'd be like Jason Kelce. He wears flip-flops in like Buffalo, so.
But you can't wear flip-flops to like a formal event or like work or.
Or, yeah. Yeah, you couldn't pick flip-flops. That'd be wild.
I mean, I could do it. Like, they got some real comfortable ones. They're all black.
Your safety department would be like, yeah, it's totally fine if you wear shower shoes.
There's no rules, man. There's no rules. Yeah, I don't think that would fly. So I think I'd have to go somewhat similar, but. I don't think I'd like it. I like the diversity. I have like two different pairs of shoes, so I like to switch it up.
Okay, try. I got one for you. There's a prize on the line. You have to do this for one whole year.
Mm-hmm.
The prize is $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
$80,000.
$400.
You're not even the manager of your own fictional bed and breakfast. $100,000. It could be whatever money you want.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do one of these two things. And I will let you
for the entire year?
For the entire year.
Do I get rest in between? Like, do I get a sleep?
Oh, these are just going to be like minor inconveniences. But if you slip up, you get nothing.
So I have to do it 365 times?
Yes.
Okay.
It's 365 days in a row.
Okay.
Okay, option one, only use the metric system. If you use feet or inches or cups or yards or acres, you get nothing. Option two, you can only speak with a French accent.
Oh, I would do the French accent in a heartbeat. For one, I barely even know what the metric system is, so I'm already out there. I'd have to practice. Do I get to practice either option though before I start my year or I like tomorrow?
You get 24 hours.
24 hours to practice my French accent. Mm-hmm. So no matter when I talk.
Or 24 metric minutes. I don't know what those are called. Berets, I think is what they're called.
I might have to do I'd probably stick with the French accent. My only problem is. That's a lot because it's like 24/7. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how often am I metricing?
I don't know. Play golf.
Yeah, I can't use yards. But I could be French. Yeah, he eats a lot of baguettes. Let me tell you what. I think that's French. I don't know.
So you go accent.
I think I would have to go accent. but I just worry that I would slip up. But if I did, I'd hopefully, how about like 8 hours a day I had to be French, and then like 2 hours a day I could be normal?
Mm-mm. 24 hours.
All right.
365 straight days of either using the metric system or only speaking in a French accent.
I'd probably have to go French accent. What would you go?
I think I would try the metric system one. I think I would lose both.
Oh, I would definitely lose both, but at least I think with both, we'd each lose pretty early, though. It's not like we'd go like 100 days of being French and then all of a sudden, hey.
I think you could commit to the metric system. You just have to think a little bit longer.
Yeah, before you talked or... Like, do you have to get a rangefinder that's just metric, though?
I guess so.
Or like have a conversion chart?
Yeah, that'd be tough.
Yeah, I'm going French accent.
Okay. I think I go metric system.
Okay, I've had a question somewhat similar to this, but I think that was like palm trees. I can't remember, but it's a huge storm.
Okay.
Okay. Wind, rain, just fire, everything going on.
Okay.
You could either be in a small fishing boat in the middle of a lake, huge lake, like Lake Winnipesaukee or okay. something like that. Okay. With all this going on, or at the top of a Ferris wheel and the power doesn't work anymore and you can't climb out. You're either stuck in the middle of a lake or you're stuck at the top of a Ferris wheel with a crazy storm going on. Which one are you choosing?
I think I would have to pick the fishing boat.
And you have to have a reasoning. You can't just pick one.
How long am I in this situation for?
It's a 36-hour storm.
Oh, then give me the Ferris wheel's at the top?
Yeah, it's stuck at the top. No lightning.
Okay, then I'll go Ferris wheel. I think that I would be too scared of drowning in like a crazy windstorm in a lake. I've been in a boat when it's really windy, and it just feels like the boat's going to capsize. Plus, I'm pretty big. Is it a rowboat? Because I don't know if I could be in a rowboat.
No, it's like a give you like a 14-foot fishing boat. I don't know if that's a big fishing boat.
No, I just ride at the storm on the Ferris wheel. I'd be too scared of drowning in the storm, like Perfect Storm or Titanic or any boat sinking adventure.
I'm going neither.
Of course.
I guess I'd have to go. I don't like heights. I don't really like water. So for me,
makes that a good question.
That makes it real tough. I hate Ferris wheels. I think I'm going to have to go fishing boat. But that would be a miserable 36 hours because I'd get seasick and be yakking. But the Ferris wheel would be rocking too. Just the thought of that tipping over. This is a big Ferris wheel too. It's not like just your run-of-the-mill. It's like Disneyland-sized Ferris wheel.
So if it fell over, I would die.
Yeah, obviously. It's not an easy question. Does that change anything for you?
No, I'd still go Ferris wheel. All right, Troy. This is a fictional game of 21, the basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
The entire Kings roster is playing in this game.
Mm-hmm.
By some crazy stroke of luck, everyone is tied at 19. In this version of 21, if you get your bucket, you're out and everyone else keeps playing. Like if you get there first, you're first place, and we go all the way through 15.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the last man standing? Who scores last, factoring in size and rebounding and defense and shooting? Because you'd have to get the rebound, take it back out.
You'd have to be able to score like one
and then
on
score.
Two late, too.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like, I mean, 1 to 15, that's a lot. There's a lot of guys that are on the end of the bench that I'm not even going to factor into this. I'm going to be like more 1 through 10 for me. And I'm going to go Davion Mitchell is going to be the last one. Just due to pure size, the ability to not really create his own shot and score. I think that even a guy like Herter will get lucky with a bucket. Because like what happens when the bucket gets all is whoever gets it.
What was that?
So let's say Fox makes it. He gets first place. Who gets the ball then? Just whoever grabs it through the net.
It's a jump ball.
So everyone's trying to jump it?
Yes. At center court.
It's like a 9-man jump ball.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna say Mitchell.
It's like a 3 flies up scenario.
No boy.
Mitchell's a good pick. I think it's Harrison Barnes trying. I don't think he is decisive enough to
get
the rebound.
He's
gonna
old man it.
I mean, if he got the ball.
He doesn't have to.
I don't think he gets the ball is the thing. He's obviously not going to like steal it from anyone. He can't guard anybody.
Well, he already has 19 points, so he had to do something.
He was gifted the 19 points.
I don't think that's how that game works, to be honest with you.
Well, everyone's been pretty hot because they all got to 19. So I think it's Harrison Barnes. I just don't see him creating a turnover or getting a rebound or having the tenacity to just take them all. I think he could get a bucket. I think he'd be the last one to get the ball. Maybe Alex Len, but he's tall.
Know.
He can get it.
I don't think Mitchell's going to take Barnes when it got down to the final two, one-on-one.
But I think Mitchell...
I think Barnes can get a bucket before Mitchell.
Mitchell could get a steal, though.
I don't think he could. Not anymore. He doesn't play defense anymore.
Oh, that's right.
He just hoists threes because that's what you got him for. Off rim or whatever his name is.
Fair enough. I would like to watch that, though. Who do you think scores the first bucket in the 15-man jump ball? He's got to come down with that ball, right?
Well, he's not going to win it. He's never won a jump in his life, but he might be able to get the ball somehow.
Yeah. And he just bully ball. He just does like 102 pump fakes until they all go at the same time, and then he lays it in. I think that's what would happen. He's just timing it. He's like, oh, that was 13 that time.
Two more.
Okay.
My last one. It's called the power couple question.
Okay.
So the most popular couple, obviously, right now is Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the 90s or 2000s, you have to make a couple, one sport figure, one musical artist that would be bigger than Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce right now. So you would have to put like Madonna or
someone,
Michael Jackson.
It'd have to be like Michael Jordan.
Because Taylor Swift's obviously what?
It'd have to be like Michael Jordan in like 1993 after the Dream Team. Like peak height where like he can't even go outside of his hotel. And then he'd have to be dating in 1992.
It'd Selena.
Selena would be a good one.
She was?
I think it might be Madonna.
She died.
92 Madonna? That's like Dick Tracy Madonna.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. But then I was also thinking like
both of those people would be. I mean, Madonna's probably not as famous as Taylor Swift is now, but Michael Jordan is way more popular.
Michael Jordan than Travis Kelce. So that's what I was trying to think. Like you have to find that fine line because you
Michael Jordan is dating Princess Diana.
But that's not, you're not listening to the game. It's a musical person.
She is a singer.
What about, see, this is the other way I went, is I went male.
Michael
Jackson.
The most famous person in the world.
But Mia who is Hamm? What, like, who are, yeah, that's, who
what
am
19
I with Michael Jackson?
Cheryl Miller.
Yeah, that's the only problem if you go that way.
Carrie Strug.
You could,
it'd have to be like
who's
a
like
gymnast.
A tennis player.
Oh, it could be like Monica Seles.
Billie Jean.
Martina Navratilova. It's not going to happen.
Get there.
No.
But Michael Jackson might be able to just carry that duo.
He's clearly more famous than the two of them. I think Michael Jordan is famous enough.
But then you could go like.
And you could find Pele. A famous singer.
What if you went, this might be weird. Like, I don't know how they would actually function, but you go Beyonce.
Okay.
And like Lionel Messi. I don't know if I pronounced that awful, but...
Can you say it again? I liked it when you did that.
Messi and Beyonce. I mean, that might give you a little more, but I just don't think Beyonce... I mean, she's very popular, but sporting-wise, I think if you got one of those soccer players, like if you went like a Spice Girl
the
and a soccer
is,
player...
They're both like super charismatic, like cool people that you want to like watch and see what they're doing. I would not care to follow the story of Lionel Messi or...
You wouldn't. I'm not saying you. I'm saying the most people would follow. You need like a David Beckham and like a Spice Girl or something.
So that the thing that already existed.
What if you
like
went
a David, like a David Beckham and a Posh Spice or somebody?
What if you went David Beckham? What years would he be in Madonna? No, I think Michael Jordan,
Britney Marilyn Spears,
Marilyn and, Monroe.
Okay, now we're going way back. Can you even name
what
who would that would be?
Would that be 60s?
Yeah, 50s, 60s.
I couldn't, to be honest with you.
And Frank Sinatra.
The thing is, I don't think people were as popular back then.
They were more popular because there was less going on. There's only three TV stations. The lowest rated TV show when Rob Lowe started acting, he was on the lowest rated TV show. Mm-hmm. 19 million people watched every episode. That's like a high-end Sunday football game. Nothing gets 19 million.
So what you're telling me is...
There's like 12 celebrities, and if you happen to be one of them, you're the most famous person in the world. So Charlie Chaplin.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about it. There's a guy I would follow. I'm a mime. He does when he's off duty.
Athlete, singer.
I just thought it was an interesting question. Like if you could just, you know, make a couple. Obviously, they wouldn't obviously be together. But
you could pick a more famous athlete than Travis Kelce.
Definitely.
But Taylor Swift's up there.
That's what I mean. I would say that Taylor Swift's probably the Michael Jackson / Madonna of our of this era.
It'd have to be Michael Jordan and some singer.
Michael Jordan and Selena, I'm telling you.
And 1992. Let's look at the...
All right, this isn't how grab bag works, though. This is the barroom debate. We don't go on the interwebs. Come on, you're cheating.
This is
the system.
My show. I do whatever I want.
I don't know if that's true, but
Celine Dion.
There it is. His Heart Will Go On.
That'd be a weird one. She could date. He could date Lisa Left Eye Lopez, like Andre Rison did.
That doesn't end well. That ends up in a little Sahara breeze.
Whitney Houston.
Ooh, that might be the couple.
Because Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown is. That's a superpower couple. But if you could replace Bobby Brown
with Michael
Jordan, get her around Michael Jordan, maybe we get more Whitney Houston years too. And we get another Bobby Brown album.
And that might push Jordan to not go to baseball.
And he doesn't get those last three rings.
But he got the ring that's most important. And that's Whitney Houston.
Okay. We'll go with all that. Right. I think that
Whitney
would do
Houston,
it.
Michael, I like that. I'm glad that we talked it out because yeah. I wanted Michael.
I think we figured it out. I think I that would Michael have to Jackson, be the athlete.
I wanted Michael Jackson to be with someone, but I just don't think it's going to work.
I just don't know enough about.
Yeah. There's just really
1980s female athletes that we could put him with.
Yeah.
It'd have to be a tennis player.
Or like I said, not even soccer.
Or
really.
Like a gymnast. It'd have to be like. Or an ice skater. I just don't think there's enough famous.
There it is. There it is. Tanya Harding.
Nancy Kerrigan and Wayne Gretzky.
See, that's what's hard.
No, that's like, wrong. That doesn't even work because that's two athletes again.
Two athletes. Wayne Gretzky. No, I think Michael Jordan's more popular than Wayne Gretzky.
Worldwide.
Harrison Barnes. Wait a minute. Hear
and
me
Kesha.
Out here. How do you feel about Lisa Loeb
and Scooter Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Power there it is. Couple. We did it.
All right, nailed
we
it.
We did it. Shut it down, Troy.
All right, what's your last one you got?
Let's just end it there. I think that
I
was
like
good.
A good power
I'll save
couple.
This one for next one. That was a good question, Troy. I like that one.
I just thought it was topical. I don't think we'll ever really talk about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce on our show.
I think so, we will again next week. I promise you it will happen.
Oh, because he's got a question about it. No, probably because it's the Super Bowl's coming up. And
it'll be a whole segment. We'll just have to create it. Get the perfect. Swifties involved.
Why not? I think that's the only way this popularity grows. We just talk Eras Tour.
I love it. I'm in. What is your favorite Taylor Swift album?
I'm going to have to pass on that. But you should listen to I See You by Coco Jones.
Is Coco Jones a guy or a girl?
The girl.
Okay, so Coco Jones.
But
and
I thought she was...
Dwight Howard.
She gets cooking in the middle of the song, and I thought it was Justin Timberlake. So that's how you know it's good. I had to look. I'm like, how come it doesn't say featured by Justin Timberlake? But it was just her. She was getting it.
All right, Chime. That was a lot of fun.
Boss, I'm glad we got the old
Season
show
four,
back.
Episode one is now in the books.
Nailed it.
We'll be back again next week. Make sure you follow the show. You get alerts for the new show. Make sure you follow us on social media at Spivey Special on Facebook, Instagram, the old X, and TikTok, and probably some other places too.
You can get our podcast anywhere you get a podcast.
Absolutely. You can watch some of our videos on YouTube.
Just kind of binge. Just binge. I mean, there's four seasons of the show. What are you guys doing with your lives? Why are you starting here?
All right, Troy. I think that's all we got. You got anything else?
Zach, you're fat.
Troy, you're fat. Later.